Hello. Welcome, everyone. Come on in, have a seat, make yourself at home. The party's about to start. We get to celebrate today with Jesus, amen? Amen. Well, my name is Dennis, and I'm doing announcements today, and I'm not sure where it's going to go, but we'll have a good time doing it. Everybody okay today? Everybody recover from Thanksgiving? Is anyone missing keys? Anybody? Okay, going once. It has a key fob here thing, so if there's a car left in the parking lot by the end of the day. Oh, shoot. I thought we were going to get a new car today. Amen, amen. Well, there's joy in the house today. And the reason there's joy in the house today is because of the Lord. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. So we have a couple announcements today. Let me see if I'm doing this right. Oh, I'm going to start off by saying that we do have pumpkin pies in the fellowship hall that as long as there's one there, you can pick it up after service in fellowship hall right next door. Pumpkin pie. I don't think pumpkin pie ever gets old, okay? So there's some in there, and yeah. So Thanksgiving Day, we had an awesome, awesome day. There were volunteers showed up early and left late. And we're so grateful for everyone who did come in. Just to let you know, we do this every year as a church. I think I'm pushing buttons. Oh, you got me? Okay. So we do this every year as a church. And so as a church, each and every one of us are involved in one form or another. Just to put a couple numbers to it, out of our gathering here, we served 177 meals. And that also includes delivering some out in a community to go boxes. People on their way home saw people who weren't able to make it here. Handed out meals that way. So it isn't just people who come in here. It's us when we leave the church. We take the love of Christ with us to the streets. And so thank you for all of those who did that. And we also, last week, delivered 25 meal boxes to two communities, one on about 85th and Pacific, and another one over on just east of McKinley Avenue, and that served another 115 mouths. So total for this year, we served about 292 people. And I say that we, because without you, it doesn't happen. So thank you all for everything you do, and thanks for the many blessings. And there was relationships made, amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. So, women's Bible study. Come on, ladies, come on. From what I hear, the area out in Parkland will not remain the same. Because there's a light shining in Parkland, and it's coming from that Starbucks out there. And there's a lot of windows, so there isn't any walls that can stand keeping the light out of the neighborhood, amen? So, all ladies are welcome, if I'm not mistaken. And that is at 9:30 on Wednesday morning. Okay. Yeah, and if you can't make it, pray for it. You know, I mean, just because you're not there personally doesn't mean we can't support the ministry. So through prayer, we can support that. And that goes for you too, men. That goes for you too, men. We can pray for that. Okay. Oh, here we go. Movie night. Friday, December 6th. At 6 p.m. The Star is going to be played. And if I'm not mistaken, we'll have popcorn and it'll be held in here. It'll be held in the sanctuary. So if you want a seat, you see there's a lot of chairs, but it goes quick. So you might want to arrive a little bit early. All right. Again, that's a family-friendly movie, and it is a time of fellowship and just coming together. Amen? So we can do that. Okay, it's time for worship. So let's stand up and join in worship.
Cross is a demonstration of how much God really loved us. And Bible says God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. And when God speaks to me, a lot of times he gives me a verse. I'm sure it is the same way with the, you know, most of us Christians who really hearing the voice of God. Sometimes, you know, when why doesn't God speak to me? Why doesn't God comfort me? Why doesn't God answer this? And doesn't he know I'm going through such a trouble or agony? And while we are doing that, there's a proof and there's a demonstrations. And throughout the history of a biblical history and throughout the history of the world, God is continually showing us how much he loved us and showing us a proof of that. And in our own lives, he does the same thing. And I remember as I was driving God gives me a verse and then it just instantly ignites a fire, or sometimes I am so overwhelmed with the joy because God speaks to me, and the realization how much he really loves me. You know, he does. I'm just sharing this part because I know he does the same thing to you. I know he speaks to you. I know Lord is here, mending hearts. And there are some of us here still going through doubts and difficult times and struggles. You know, why we do that? Because Bible says we are all like sheep, you know. And I know I'm speaking, I'm a pastor, right? And one of the pastors. And a lot of times if you think, and I used to think to a lot of, you know, the clergy members or the pastors, especially when I think of Pastor John, like, you know, I don't think he has ever had problem with struggling or, you know, but I know that's not true because when I read the Bible, I know Apostle Paul struggled with, you know, a lot of same issues that we do. Because we are men, we are people. We go through struggle, we have doubts, but when that happens, know this, God loves you so much. And he demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. A lot of times we wonder because we did the bad things, because we made a mistake, because we goofed up, because we, you know, don't worry about it. While we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, it's not, God doesn't bless us because we did a good things. Because we kept, you know, a perfect life. He died for us while we are yet sinners. Because he loves us. There is no reason why we love our children. We don't understand why God loves us. We don't understand his grace. So that's why we worship his amazing grace today. Because we don't understand it all, Lord, because of that. You're awesome, God. That's why we're praising. Ushers, please come. Let's really worship Him. There's no reason for this grace. There's no reason why God should love me. If you think about the way how much I betray God, or if you all think that way and start counting all the bad things that I've done, then there's no reason why God should love me. But because He does, I don't understand why He does. And there is a grace. And we call it amazing grace. Lord, You are amazing. Your grace is amazing. Your love is amazing. We don't understand it all. We don't understand how You operate. But we lift our hands and hearts towards heaven and to You, Lord, and say, Lord, You are amazing. Lord, You are wonderful. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for saving us. Thank You for protecting us. Lord, we confess to You, You are our castle. Your strong tower. Your help in times of trouble and need. Lord, thank You for who You are. Receive our worship. Receive our offering. Lord, receive us. Bless us. Heal us. Protect us. Meet with us today. In Jesus' name.
Wow, amen. Thank you, Pastor Michael. Thank you, worship team. Yes. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. I know Thanksgiving was Thursday, but because of that amazing grace, we can be thankful every day we are alive. So, yes, that's one of the great things of having Jesus Christ as our Savior. Here is the church calendar, and I don't know if we have such a thing as a normal week, but the big announcement is the family night, and that really is the story of Christmas. I have not seen this movie. I hear it's really good. I'm looking forward to seeing it, but it's from the donkey's perspective. Is that right, Jesus? Okay. All right. So the donkey talks, and it sounds like going to be a lot of fun, but hey, anytime we fire up the popcorn machine, that's reason to gather in my mind. So also, we didn't announce it at the beginning, but guys, don't forget, you have your men's breakfast this Saturday, the outreach, neighborhood outreach after that. So other than that, we're kind of back to business with our normal meetings during the week. Even though I see on the calendar there is the Fro Christmas potluck on the radar here, a couple weeks out, so remember that. That's on the 19th. Galia's not here. She's traveling this weekend, but if she were here, she would tell you, yes, we're going to have an ugly sweater contest. So start working on that now, those of you that need 2 weeks to get your ugly sweater up and going. And I think she's having a rap battle. So if you are a rapper, not Christmas paper rap, the that kind of rap, that I'm not even gonna kid about that because somebody will sign me up. But she's forming two teams, and they're going to battle back and forth. So, plus it's a potluck, and it's just fun to fellowship. And, another highlight, we're going to have professional quality photos with St. Nicholas. So, those of you that would wish, you know, these kids are growing up so fast and can't afford to go to the mall and pay all those prices, don't do that. You won't regret the backdrop and the quality, and everything we're doing is to kind of provide this service for our church family. You'll go home with a really nice photo. So that's kind of a fun family photo night as well. So I think you're up to speed, except for one announcement I want to kind of talk to you about, which is, I know it's a month out, but it's our prayer team training. And the reason I want to talk to you about this is because I really want to plant the seed to get you motivated to attend. And you may think to yourself, well, I don't know. I don't ever see myself ministering that way. I'm not sure. I see what the prayer teams do, and they travel, and they pray for all these people. You know what? Zero obligation. But please come to the class, because it's the backbone for how we ministry here. You're going to understand. And Tiffany just told me that training she uses on her job, right? So I'm okay. Yeah, I'm not making that up. She just volunteered that to me before the service. And so I think God will use it. It's yeah, all right. She talks to people all over the world. And we practice recognizing the voice of God. We talk about some biblical principles in how to pray for one another, James 5:16, and carry the burdens for each other. So I want to put that on your radar. It starts in January. 6:30, and I know January is 6 weeks. I know it's not the best time of year to drive downtown in the middle of winter, but this is important. So that's why I'm kind of putting it out there now, wanting you to determine now, make this decision now, pray about it now, to go through the 6 weeks of training. And I just believe God's going to use it. There's a call on this church to minister this way. So, all right. This is our last so-called Frovember Holy Spirit fill-up Sunday. We had quite a month of November, and I know today is actually December 1st. So, yes, we'll block out Frovember and call it December Gratefulness and Testimony to God's Character. How about that for a long sermon title? The point being, I am so proud of you guys and what we all did in November and spiritual renewal, extra prayer, extra fasting, just some things to kind of clean house and renew our hearts with intimacy with Christ. And it was a reward in itself. It was an amazing month. To me, it's one of the more powerful months of November of spiritual renewal that I can think of in the last 9 years of doing it here. So I just praise God, and I'm filled with thanksgiving for what God has done and what he's going to do. So I wanted to take an extra week, an extra Sunday on December 1st, and kind of look back, yes, but also look forward and just say, God, thank you that you are doing something new. And yes, you have already begun. And I think we're becoming more and more aware of what God is doing. And when you see the Holy Spirit in yourself and you go, wow, where did that come from? I hope you're encouraged. I hope you see that and go, oh, God, you've already begun. This process of dying to self and coming to alive to you, you've begun this. And thank you, God, for this spiritual renewal. Now, we did talk about this verse last week, but this is kind of an introduction to what I want to do today. In Galatians, the whole chapter is important, but I thought this was a good balancer for us. For we have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, and you can see what I underlined here, we have an obligation, and the obligation is to each other. Yes, God's grace is amazing. I can't think of a better way to describe it either. But it's not just for us to kind of receive it and say, you know, thank you, see you later. It comes with a responsibility to use your freedom to serve one another in love. And that's why I kind of drew this network, because I think it's really important that you realize how significant you are. Yes, God loves you. He also loves those that you know. He also loves those that you correspond with, even though you think they may be pretty negative. They may be outright derogatory towards Christianity. But they know you, and you have access to them. Access equals influence. And I believe you are so strategic for you, period. But when you realize the network, the significance of just who you know, that's all. Maybe it's one, maybe it's 10. I love the illustration of when you think of Billy Graham's ministry and how many hundreds of thousands of people he influenced and how many hundreds of thousands of people found salvation through the Billy Graham Crusades. But you know who has even more credit than Billy Graham in heaven? Is the guy that led Billy Graham to the Lord. You know, just one guy. We don't know. And our Sunday school teachers are heroes because I know that they have young Deborahs and Isaiahs, and I mean, they have future prophets and prophetesses next door that they're investing in. And it may seem like, oh, well, it's only one, it's only a handful. Don't think that way in Christianity. We have a multiplier effect. It's not addition. It's maybe we influence one, that one influences two, that two influences four, that four influences eight, and so on. And pretty quick, we've actually carried out the Great Commission. It's actually mathematically possible that the whole world that's alive right now, if we started sharing in that capacity, would actually hear the good news of the gospel, and the Great Commission would be carried out in our lifetime. That's got to be exciting. All right. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. You can't do that by yourself. You can't do that sitting at home. You can't do that in front of a TV doing worship over TV. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Sometimes that's your only option. I'm just saying you can see in Scripture there is an obligation to know and to be known. There's an obligation to community. And I want to go over this passage in Scripture out of Luke 17. And this is an important passage for all of us. It's kind of a favorite passage of mine, and the Lord brought it to me about 2 weeks ago to start thinking about this. And so I'll go through the narrative for you. You may be familiar with it. Jesus heals 10 lepers. It's getting towards the end of his earthly ministry. He's actually headed back to Jerusalem, where a lot of important things are going to happen, including him going to the cross. So I would think that his mind is kind of distracted. His mind is like, whoa, what lies ahead of me? But on the way, as Jesus continued towards Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. And as he entered a village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Man, doesn't this go with our worship? Doesn't it go with what Pastor Michael had? The Holy Spirit hotline, I could tell, is active because we didn't talk about these things. They didn't know what I was going to be teaching on this morning. But the Holy Spirit knew. And wow. So make a mental note of this. This is all they cry out: "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Or I should say, at least it's all that is recorded for us. Now, to give you a little cultural insight here, lepers, nobody understood the disease. Actually, it's still a pretty misunderstood disease. But they were excluded from society. They were outcasts. So as a leper, if you came down with this terrible disease, it would show up on your skin. And by law, you are obligated to keep your distance. And if anyone even accidentally started to come close to you, you had to yell out, "Unclean, unclean." And so they would like, oh, they would know, "You're a leper. I don't want to get close to you unless I catch that," which isn't how leprosy is transferred. But of course, that doesn't matter. They, without understanding, they were basically as rejected from society as you can be. Now, for us, think about the pain of rejection. All of us have suffered rejection in some degree. Well, here's the first century's ultimate rejection. You cannot even participate in society. So I'm reading into this a little bit, but Jesus is on his way, and these 10 guys that have to be from a distance, that's why they shout to him. They can't approach somebody that's healthy, and they yell out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." I don't know if you've ever been in a place of desperation, but I think you can imagine the desperation in their voice. You could probably hear it. And the Lord, who is very compassionate, I know, heard it. Now, his response is pretty interesting because he basically says, he looked at him and said, go show yourself to the priests. Okay, will you pray for us that we'll be healed? Will you lay hands on us? You've done that to other people with leprosy. It's like, no prayer, no announcing you are healed. Just go show yourself to the priest. Well, by law, if you were a leper, as I just mentioned, you had to remove yourself from society. And if you were cured, which didn't happen very often, actually hardly ever did, but there was a provision by law that said, okay, we're not going to take your word for it. If you are healed, go show yourself to the priest, and the priest will examine you and then declare you are clean, and now you can re-enter society. And oh yeah, by the way, re-enter church. You could worship again. These guys couldn't even worship with everybody else, with the congregation. So we're talking rejection on the ultimate scale here. So I kind of collect in my mind the different ways that God heals. And this is one of them, and it's an important one. I shared with you, I think, last week or during our healing service, the Luke 13, or maybe it was the week before, about the Lord healing the woman bent over for 16 years. And, you know, she didn't ask to be healed. Jesus really didn't pray for her to be healed. He was there at church doing probably church as usual and noticed this woman. And he just felt compassion for her. He's feeling compassion for these 10 guys. Now this woman, can you believe coming to church for 16 years bent over? She could not stand up. I mean, the discomfort, the pain, the embarrassment. And the Lord, just moved by compassion, just looked at her and said, woman, your faith has healed you. Wow. I there's not too many healings where the person didn't even ask to be healed. Well, this isn't quite that category, but it's interesting what these guys asked for. They didn't say, Jesus, we know you can heal leprosy. Take this condition away. They said, Master, have mercy on us. The medical condition is horrible. And yeah, wouldn't it be mercy to be relieved of all those symptoms? But I think it's also, guess what? You're no longer outcasts. Guess what? You can rejoin society and community. That pain of rejection and living under that, as well as the physical manifestations, had to be horrible. And in that desperation, that's what they cry out, Master. Master, a term of authority, even authority over the physical, even authority over this incurable disease. Master, have mercy. You know, I think it's the second song we sang and worshiped. And it said, our confidence is in God's character. My confidence isn't in me. My confidence comes from knowing who God is. Amen. And knowing the authority he has. Yes, he's given me the authority and he told me to do the stuff. So in obedience, I'm going to do it. And yes, you can look at me and say, wow, that guy has faith. He's praying for people's healing all the time. Yes, I am. But my confidence comes from God's character. My faith comes from what he has done in my life and what I am seeing him do in the body of Christ and those that I love. All right, so Jesus, I don't know if Luke didn't record it for us. Now, Dr. Luke, remember, he's a physician, and he wouldn't just drop out the details when somebody gets healed. He's recorded more healings than any of the other synoptic gospels. You know, he's the doctor, educated guy. Well, this is how you heal? Okay, he's writing this down. So I have a tendency to think what we read is exactly how it happened. You know, Jesus is like, okay, I got a mission. I got to get, oh, yeah, 10 guys. Man, I hear their desperation. I hear their faith because they're calling me master. He skips the, okay, let me pray that you get healed part and just says, go to the next step to verify your healing. Go do the legal step, by the way, and walk in what the law says you are supposed to do. Now, it's interesting, their response, because they actually do them. They actually do it, right? You know, before they're healed, they're like, okay, we'll go show ourselves to the priest. He looked at them, and as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. Now, make a little mental note of this word, cleanse. Some translations actually said healed, which is also correct. Basically, their disease falls off as they go. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. This man was an outsider. Wow, an outsider of outsiders. Talk about, you know, someone that is looked down upon in Jewish society, a half-breed. But doesn't it remind you of the story Jesus told about the Good Samaritan? The one guy that had real compassion on the man that was attacked? Well, here's another story that is using this ethnic example of somebody that is looked down on, somebody that is considered less than. Man, he comes back and gives glory to God. Jesus said, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to the man, stand up, your faith has. And this word here in the original language changes. Your faith has healed you. Now this is the little word sozo. And earlier, 10 men, as they were going to the priests, were healed. One man returned and was healed. Meaning that if we translate it in English, it could be the same word, cleansed. But this little word changes here. 10 men were cleansed. One man came back and was healed. Now, sozo has to do with the word that we translate many times, salvation. Something else happened. Yes, all 10 had their disease taken care of. And all of them, by the way, had faith to turn around and obey Jesus, to call to him and then obey him. But one guy, something different happened. And one guy experienced a spiritual transaction that the others didn't. And I know your heart, and I share this at the end of the month for us, meaning November, our spiritual renewal month. It's hard to put into vocabulary, but I think that's mostly what all of us were praying for. That's what we were fasting for. That's why we were crying out to God. Lord, we're just ready for the next step. I don't know how to describe that. I don't necessarily have vocabulary for that, but Master, have mercy on us. Thank you for healing our diseases. Yes, thank you for healing us. Thank you for everything you have done. But wow, we need that healing. We need that cleansing. We need that sozo. We need that extra level of spiritual transaction that happens inside the heart. Yes, Jesus cleansed tens, but, and by the way, he does not minimize our reentry into society. He actually encourages godly community. This is very important and an aspect of the story that I want us to understand what these guys got so excited about that, man, they didn't necessarily think to go back and thank Jesus. They were just excited to walk in this new healing. But sometimes we are healed along the way. And that's exactly what happened to these 10. We don't know the timing of this, but we had quite a healing service. And I think it was one of the best we've had. Praise God for any and all healing. But maybe you didn't get the results that you wanted. Don't give up. we're not going to give up. We're still praying through that whole list, and we're going forward. But can I say, sometimes the healings I've experienced and I've seen aren't instant. Sometimes they are, and I praise God for that. I love that when that happens. But sometimes there's that faith that gets exhibited when you turn and say, well, regardless, I'm following the Lord. Regardless, I'm doing what He says because it's right. Okay, this is not, God, if you do this, I'll do this. No, this is righteousness. This is truth. This is the right way to go anyway. So I'm going to follow God. And you know what? So much I have seen the Lord do that. When we let go of our expectations, we let go of our control, we let go of God do it my way on my terms, you know, it's all control. The second we finally get to that point where we just let go and say, God, I'm just going to trust you. I've seen so many answers to the prayer happen right at that moment. It's amazing. So if you're in that continuum right now where you're really, you know, pressing in, amen, that's the right thing to do. But just make sure you let go of any negotiations with the God of creation. Make sure you just add to that pressing in, God, I just love you, and I want to rest in that peace. I want to trust in your character, which includes the timing and all the timing issues in my life. Listen, the difference between healed in verse 17 and healed in verse 19, that's salvation. This faith that the one had to turn and go back to Jesus ended up being a spiritual transaction in him that basically saved him for eternity. And that's this little Greek word, sozo. And I added a little extra definition. It means cleansed, it means faith, it means saved, it means healed. But look at this. Another part of the definition means have been made whole. And that's how we started the month. God, fill us up. Fill us up. Make us whole. That part of us that is empty, you know, we're going to clean the house, but we're not going to leave it empty. We want you to come in. We want you to fill us up. So, in the meaning has to do with being made whole. That kind of faith is a faith that saves you. You know, what did he do? Well, Scripture just tells us he came back to give glory to God. And that's what I want to do right now as I've been thinking about this. Lord, what does that look like? We want to definitely give glory to you. So here's just a quick definition, and then we're going to have a testimony to this. But part of that concept of giving glory to God is to acknowledge him now. It's just to say, yeah, God, you did this. Amen. I'm not going to steal your credit. I'm not going to pretend that somehow I'm more spiritual than anyone else. I'm not. But God, you did this, and I acknowledge your character. I acknowledge your presence and your truth. Thank you, Lord. Now, these references out of Isaiah and Romans are basically saying, you know what? Someday, everyone's going to acknowledge God. Someday, every knee will bow. But what brings glory to God is when you and I do it now, without sight. When you and I do it now, without any kind of obligation, when you and I voluntarily love God now so much that we acknowledge him right here on earth in front of our peers. Wow, that is one definition that brings glory to God. You know, the other biblical term, give glory to God, is really the manifestation of God. In Exodus, you see this a couple times. It says, and God's glory manifest in a cloud by day. And then at night, God's glory manifest in a pillar of fire. So people were able to see manifestations of God in the physical. And that is called the glory of God. And I know we sing that, you know, I love Jesus leads us in Shekinah glory come. And you know, it's probably the one song we sing that we get questions, what does Shekinah mean? What does Shekinah glory mean? That it means this. It means this manifest presence where you could see it. And in different times in history, it manifests in different ways. But there was something that you could actually see. And I think of the Azusa Street Revival. And the glory of God would come over the building, and people would call the fire department in Los Angeles because they thought the building was on fire. And the fire department got tired of showing up because there was no fire. But people at the train station could see it. They could see the glory of God. And then the mist inside, as people were being healed, the kids would go play in the Shekinah glory, the glory of God and that presence. So, man, when we sing that song, I want you to understand this is what we're asking for. God, show up. Show up now to the point where we can see this with our human eyes. Also, the glory of God is the revelation of God. Isaiah asked to see his glory, and his prophecies are full of basically, God, reveal yourself to us. Reveal your glory to us now. We don't want to wait to the end of the age, which is the connotations of these passages. But here's another definition, and I think we experience this. Giving glory to God means you are recognizing God's presence. And Jesus talked about this. This is his prayer in John 17. He says, "Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." Jesus was present at creation. Actually, Jesus was present before creation. But what he's talking about is that time when Jesus, being God, always was God the Father, with the Holy Spirit, all three were present. And in that presence is the glory of God. Now, Jesus stepped away from that when he came to earth. And as we start to celebrate Advent and the true meaning of Christmas, I want you to understand, wow, that was a lot that Jesus stepped away from the presence of God's glory and took on a human body to come and relate to you and I here on earth. But this is what we are aiming for. This is when we say, God, we want to give you glory. We're going to acknowledge you. We're saying we want your presence. You are welcome here. Come, God, as we give glory to you. We don't want to miss this opportunity. So I know Perry, come on up. Perry was going to give her testimony. And yes, amen. Hopefully I've kind of set the stage a little bit. I'm so proud of you, Perry. Come on up here.
All the way up.
Yeah, so people can see you. But okay. I'm just so proud of you, and thank you for being willing to share with us.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to start about 6 years ago. I was in a trampoline accident. I was jumping and showing off for my grandchildren and trying to do a flip. And so anyway, I'm on disability, and I'm on a very fixed income now because of that. Well, last Tuesday, I was at the store, and we were getting stuff for Thanksgiving, and I was thinking, oh my gosh, if I spend the wrong dollar the wrong way, it's just not going to work out good the rest of the month. And that was running through my head as we were getting stuff for Thanksgiving, and the phone rang. And it was my landlord, and I thought, oh my gosh, it's never good from the landlord. And he wants to talk to me, and he wants to know if I'm going to be home in a little bit. And I said, well, yeah, I'll be home in a little bit. And he says, well, he wants to walk the perimeter of the fence. I'm thinking, well, that's really odd, but okay. So, and it's getting dark, it gets dark at 4:30 now, and I'm like, boy, if he doesn't hurry up and get here soon, he's going to be walking the perimeter of the fence in the dark. So I wait, and then I see his truck's outside. We live in a duplex, so I see that he's next door. And I'm like, well, I kind of wanted to go to my daughter's, and I'm giving it this, And so I call him up because I can't wait no longer. I said, well, are you in the neighborhood? He says, yeah, I just need 2 minutes of your time. So I'm okay, I go back in the house and I wait some more. And sure enough, okay, knocks on the door, and then in the door, and so I can't take it anymore. I'm just panicked. Is this good news or bad news? It's 2 days before Thanksgiving. So he goes, well, you tell me, and he gives me this envelope, and I'm like, oh, no. So I'm shaking, I open the envelope, and he's waiving the whole month of December's rent. Yeah, I was just, praise God for that. Yeah, that's $500 extra for me, $500 for my son, and $400 for his, you know, his girlfriend. Yeah, that was really great. So yeah, we're really thankful for that.
What a blessing. Amen. Thank you, Perry. Yeah, amen. We got time for one more. Perry broke the ice here, and this is the idea. We want to give glory to God. And so maybe there's something going on and you didn't plan on this, that's fine, but we're a church family. This is your church family. So anybody, I won't close the door. Okay, Tiffany.
I felt God nudging me. So last time I was here, you guys, I told you that, you know, my mom had passed, and you remember I was the estranged child in the family, and luckily, I have to say that I'm not that estranged family member anymore. My
Amen.
Father and I are like so close. We talk every day. He's like my best friend now. Some of you guys saw my post that I lost all my welfare. I lost my child care and food stamps and everything. But my dad came forward, and he's now going to be my child care. So, you know, I came out of walking in addiction, and January 21st I'll have 7 years, and I'm celebrating Jubilee.
Amen.
Woo! But you know, so much rejection can just lift, and I know that when my mom passed, she was able to bless me, and I shared that with you, and it was something, amazing spiritual transaction happened. I'm not walking in rejection anymore, and my strength doesn't come from men. It comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And even when, you know, like Dorothy had said, you go to the end of a cliff with DSHS. Where are you? Wave at me, Dorothy. I can't see you. There, okay. It's like the DSHS cliff, she says, and it's like that. They help you along, and then they just say goodbye. And I wasn't expecting that, but God had other plans. My daughter is now going to be able to rekindle really closely her relationship with her grandfather. My brother's helpful. She might be having surgery next month, and my brother even offered to take the day off to carry her up because we're on the third floor of our apartment. So I just have all this help that I'm so overwhelmed with joy, and I'm just so thankful that I held out to be that person to go first and pray for
Amen.
Salvation in my family.
Yeah.
It was uncomfortable, but it's not anymore. We prayed over the Thanksgiving dinner together, and they all said amen, so woohoo!
Okay, this is what we've been working on, that empty feeling. And last month I defined it by several of these things. These things are not of the Lord. So don't make peace with it. Don't receive it as a diagnosis. Don't just shrug your shoulders and say, well, I guess this is life. I guess this is me. And yes, we're going to pray against those things, but just because November is over, our spiritual renewal month, I hope you realize that every day we walk on this earth, we're going to continue to fill up. Let's be made whole. That's that word sozo. There's no holes, there's no gaps, there's no less than, lacking nothing. You are not rejected, you are accepted by the King of creation. So we want to declare all of these things and anything that you know is not of the Holy Spirit, trespassers. And as trespassers, not only do they have to leave, but we want to be filled and be filled continually. And so this is also from Galatians chapter 5, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our life. This is what we want more of: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Am I missing one? Oh, nope. Gentleness and self-control. If you have those things moving in, they got to push those other awful things out. And, you know, we already went over the passage. You don't want to clean house and not fill up. You don't want to just have an empty room all put back in order, only for what you cleaned out the notice and come back and make you in a worse situation. So to be filled, to be continually filling up, this is a decision. This is a process. I want you to determine to do this. It's not going to happen by relaxing yourself now that some of the tensions are gone or some of the God has healed you. No, let's continue. Let's prioritize. Let's press in. Certainly worship, certainly prayer, certainly God's truth, but also your congregation, your church family. This community is very important because I know when I'm here, I get filled up. I get encouraged. I see the faith of another, and that is continually producing more and more faith in me. So, all right, I'm going to wrap up here, but before I do, I know we prayed for a lot of people's healing. Are there any testimonies about the healing service? Did anybody have symptoms that now they don't, or they have fallen off? Oh, amen. Will you take it over to her, Kathy? Cindy, just a quick.
Well, I've been using my cane. It's not working. Just keep talking. I've been using my cane, and this week I didn't have to use my cane. My leg was prayed over last week by Linda Blue, and
amen.
Jesus healed it. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah. Hey, that's worth having a whole service for right there, and we'll take that. Are there any more? I have a feeling there might be a couple more, though. All right. Oh, one more. Hey, over here.
Yeah, Maria.
So I had a lot of, really debilitating, fear, paralyzing fear of just certain people in my life not being happy with the joy that I have in my life now, and it was really keeping me from living in the joy that I have in my life now. So, and it's crazy because I didn't even I only said that to one person what I needed healing from, but all the people that prayed for me just spoke such powerful words that,
amen,
when I went into the next day and throughout the week, I don't even know what it's like to be scared. I'm not even thinking about the people or entities that I was scared of. It was just, I feel like there's this wall of protection around me, and I'm doing the right things, and I'm raising my kids, and I'm moving forward with God. It's not even an issue anymore. And I know that was because I humbled myself to walk through that tunnel.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Maria. Proud of you. And by the way, I was praying and fasting going up to the healing service that we would have some healings of things like fear and depression. So it's not just physical stuff. So, and if you suffered with any of that, you know how debilitating that is. So thank you for giving glory to God. Amen. Yes. Oh, Samuel.
Yeah, you might not want to take the mic. It's been going on for 3 weeks, man. First, my arm got healed from being broke, remember?
Yes.
2 weeks ago. Then my kidneys. And then I've been having bad nightmares, right? Well, since I got prayed for, I haven't had no nightmares. I'm sleeping like a baby now.
Amen.
So, yeah. And then job opportunities left and right, left and right, left and right.
Oh, praise God.
And you want to say a minute ago about giving glory to God. I turned on a card that I haven't had turned on in a year. I had to call the agency and turn the card back on. I had a card, and there was over $1,000 on it. I'm like, what?
Wow.
So they took care of Christmas. I got the birthday taken care of, Christmas taken care of, everything done. I'm like, wow, next is the car.
So amen. 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 Thank you, Samuel. Praise God. Yes, we have these events, but please understand, we'll pray for healing any day of the week. Please understand, spiritual renewal is our life, every day that God grants us on this earth. So we put these things on the calendar to remind us, to make a point of it, to kind of teach through some things and example some things, but this is life for us. And to me, it's like a lifeboat. If I step out of that boat, yeah, you could tread water a little while, but you're going to sink. It's not sustainable. You stay in that boat, and guess what? This is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And it will continue to flow, and you'll surprise yourself. You'll look at you and go, wow, who is this person? There is actually peace. There's actually love. There's actually joy. There's actually self-control. There's actually sound mind. So this is what I mean by staying in this community. So thank you, every brave soul that gave glory to God. As He does these things, please don't hesitate. We're here Thursday nights. We're here Sunday afternoons. We'll give you an opportunity. Sign up with Marcia. She puts us in order. Marcia, just wave if you don't know who Marcia is. Because this is a big part of what we do. We don't want to be like those nine lepers that just said, oh, thanks God for healing us. See you later. We want to be like the one that said, well, thanks for healing us. I'm coming back, and we're giving glory to God. Please stand. Let me pray over you. Lord, I thank you for each and every testimony, and each one shows your supernatural provision. We're ordinary people, but we have signed up to live supernaturally. So, Holy Spirit, continue to minister. Continue to renew us from the inside. Yes, our spiritual renewal month is over, but God, spiritual renewal is just begun. And so continue to work in our hearts, in our minds, in our families, in our generations. Continue to minister in love and power. We want all of your fruit. We love every aspect of who you are, Holy Spirit. And we are sick and tired of the trespasser. So I just want to pray with the authority you've given me, Jesus, against depression, against loneliness, hopelessness, fear, against every trespass, against bodies, sound mind. I pray against confusion. I pray against issues with the lungs and digestion. Issues with inner ear and balance. I thank you for Samuel's testimony about victory over our sleep. God, we are your people. And we are contending for that John G. Lake type healing, that historic move you did right here in this state. God, we are praying that in here now. As I also mentioned the Azusa Street Revival and their prophecies that 100 years later you would move again. Well, God, we agree with that. And we're saying, why not Tacoma? Why not here? Why not now? God, not for us, but as you've seen today, we are going to be faithful to give glory to you, God. We give glory to you. And as we give glory to you, we pray for your presence to manifest, for Shekinah glory to come, to fill us and to fill this place. And every influence we have, God, we commit to you right now and say, God, to you be the glory. Wow, thank you for your amazing grace. You know, the Holy Spirit many times describes himself as wind, or more literally, breath. Why don't you just take a deep breath right now, just to kind of prophetically signify, Holy Spirit, I take you in. Okay, let the breath out. I don't want anyone to get dizzy. But let's do it one more time. Take a deep breath in and hold it just for a second, and then let it out. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And when I say here, I mean the house of our bodies, of who we are, of our existence. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Thank you for your amazing grace. I pray you will continue to heal. I just was going to close, but I got back pain, shoulder pain. So, Lord, thank you for healing the back pain in the room and the shoulder pain in the room. We give glory to you, God. I just want to, I'm sorry, I want to add one more thing here. I'm just trying to talk and listen at the same time. So, Holy Spirit, thank you for being master. So there's people crying out to you, Master, have mercy. So will you hear, actually, you do hear that prayer. I'm getting in the way here, but the Holy Spirit wants to encourage you that he has heard that prayer, and those legal issues are not going to be issues. So God, thank you that you are God even over our court system, and that you can take care of legal issues. And as we heard testimony today, financial issues as well. But one more healing, and I guess healing of the blood or viruses. So Lord, thank you for that healing. We give glory to you. Lord, we are your people called by your name, and we have humbled ourselves and prayed, and we are working hard to turn from our wicked ways and seek your face and pray. So God, thank you for hearing our prayers of November. Thank you for hearing our prayers of today. Thank you, God, that you are healing us. And I believe you are going to heal this land. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And the whole church together said, amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for coming today. Don't forget your pumpkin pie. Go out through the fellowship hall. And there's a pumpkin pie, I think, for everybody. Please take it home, because it'll spoil if it stays here.